Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3 is the passage for today. And we are reading today in Galatians 3 from verse 15 to the end of the chapter. Galatians chapter 3 from verse 15 to verse 29. And so I begin with the reading of the passage. The Apostle Paul continuing his deliberation as he speaks, to the Galatian brothers and sisters in Galatia. And he said to them, "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith, not unto seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Mashiach, Messiah, Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Messiah, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, unto Mashiach, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus the Messiah, in Yeshua HaMashiach. For as many of you as have been baptized unto Mashiach, unto Christ, have put on Christ, have put on Mashiach, Messiah. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Messiah, Yeshua. And if ye be in Messiah, or if ye be Messiah or Christ's, Then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And I'm stopping here in verse 29. Beloved brothers and sisters, I just want to say that I have been so refreshed myself in the study of the book of Galatians that it assists myself. I'm speaking for myself as a Hebrew, Israeli, Jewish believer in Yeshua the Messiah. It assists me tremendously to understand in a clearer way as we study the book of Galatians why it was so necessary, that Yeshua the Messiah will come, and why we have to understand that the law that God had given to our forefathers, the people of Israel, was never given to our forefathers in order to provide for them or for us justification or salvation. In fact, the opposite, the law that God has given to our forefathers was given to them in order to show them of the holiness of God and the sinfulness of men, and to drive them to go to the person of Yeshua the Messiah, which is seen through the sacrificial system that God had given to Israel. But before I'm going to move along here, I would like you to turn with me to Romans 7 for a moment. And I want you to understand that sometimes we make mistakes assuming that Shaul, that is Paul, was against the law that God had given to Moshe, to Israel on Mount Sinai. In fact, notice what Shaul, Paul says to the Romans in Romans chapter 7. He says to them in verse 12, notice what he says, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good." He says, "Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin working death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful." And notice what he says in verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal," Paul said of himself, "and I am sold under sin." You see, brothers and sisters, Paul never looked down at Torat Elohim, at the law of God. Paul have elevated the Torat Elohim, the law of God, to show us that the Torah, the law that was given to our forefathers Israel, was given for a reason and for a purpose to lead us ultimately to know that Yeshua Jesus is the Messiah. So now let's go back to the book of Galatians in chapter 3. And if you remember, in our last meeting when we started Galatians chapter 3, we finished Galatians 1, we finished Galatians 2, and we began Galatians chapter 3. And we did say that Galatians chapter 3 and chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, the Shaul Paul, is taking the Galatians back to the Bible, back to Scripture. In chapter 1 and in chapter 2, he did say to them, because he as a man in the beginning rejected the Messiah, he needed to experience the Lord Jesus. The Lord Yeshua had to reveal to him the fact that he is the one that the law pointed to. And you remember what the Apostle Paul said already in chapter 1, verse 6, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of the Messiah unto another gospel." And you remember, we said that the reason that the whole letter that Shaul Paul is writing to the Galatians is because some Jewish believers, some Jewish people came down from the city of Jerusalem and said to the Gentile believers, he said to the Goyim, he said to them, "You are really not saved, you are really not justified because you are not circumcised yet and you haven't kept the law of Moses." So he caused them to be in trouble. He says, "Wait a minute. We haven't kept the law of Moses. We haven't been circumcised. Am I really saved? Am I justified? Am I really forgiven? So those kind of issues caused them a lot of problem. And Paul gave them the message of the gospel. That's why in chapter 1, Paul also said, if you remember, he said to them in these next verses, in verse 7 of chapter 1, which is not another, he said, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the Messiah. Some perverted, twisted the message of the gospel and told to the Galatians that it's really not only faith in Yeshua the Messiah, it's faith in Jesus the Messiah, plus being circumcised, plus keeping the law of Moses. And today, because we live now about 2,000 years later, some tell us it's plus baptism, some tell us it's plus speaking in tongues, others tell us you plus have to keep certain things, days and weeks and months and years, otherwise you are not saved. And that is wrong, beloved brothers and sisters, because Paul is so strongly present before us the only way of justification, which is through faith in Yeshua the Messiah. So what Paul does, Shaul Paul does in chapter 3 and in chapter 4, he's going back and he's presenting before the Galatians five arguments or five reasons as to why no one will ever be able to be justified in any other way except through faith in the Lord Jesus, the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. You remember in the first 14 verses, he gave them scriptural reasons or scriptural arguments. He went to Abba, Father Abraham, and he showed to them in the first 14 verses that Abraham believed, quoting Genesis 15, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. No more and no less. The law on Mount Sinai hasn't been given to Abraham as yet. He was justified simply by believing God. Today, in this ministry meeting, in chapter 3, verses 15 to 29, Paul is going to give the Galatians a second reason or a second argument, and he's going to give them a logical argument. Logical, in the Hebrew word is higayon, liot hegyoni. You know, you are logic, you have common sense. Common sense should show those of us who believe in the Word of God that our salvation is strictly only because of what the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, have done, and nothing that we can add or subtract from that by keeping laws, by being circumcised, by speaking in tongues, or by being baptized, and so on, and so on, and so on. So you notice this is so beautiful. When I prepared for this message, I was so moved in my own heart what God is thinking and what God is planning. If our salvation, beloved brothers and sisters, had been dependent upon our performance, keeping something, anything that God gave men, men broke. Anything that God had demanded from us, we fail. Anything, if you just look at your life, if you're honest, you will see that you are broken, I have broken, we have broken, all have broken any law, any rule, any command, anything that God had given to men. We have broken it. What God declared us are, we have all sinned and we all need the grace of God. And so in these verses that we have before us, you notice that the Apostle Paul presents a logical reason as to why no one will ever be able to be saved except through faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah. Of course, today, after he had come, before he had come, when a Jewish man fell into sin, and they did, God gave the sacrificial system. The animal, the lamb and the ram and the goat all shed their blood in order to pass over the sins of our own nation, the nation of Israel. It always was on a basis of faith in God and accepting the provision that God had given unto his own people. So now you notice that Paul gives the Galatians 4 points in these verses, very beautiful, 4 points or 4 common sense to help them to understand the relationship between God's promises that he gave to Abraham and God's law. The relationship between Havtachat HaElohim in Hebrew, the promises of God, and Torah HaElohim, the law of God. And you can show now in these verses, there is a relationship between the promises of God and the laws of God. So he gives the Galatians and to you and I, these 4 common sense points. And I like to go with you over these 4 common sense points. The first one is found in verses 15, 16, 17, and 18. And here in these verses, we find out that the law of God, the law that God gave to Israel, do not set aside the promises that God made to Abraham. That's what Paul is saying in verses 15, 16, 17, and 18, that the law that God have given to our forefathers, the Jewish people on Mount Sinai, does not set aside all the promises that it had given Abraham long time before Israel came out of Egypt. And they were standing there before Mount Sinai. Notice in verse 15, Paul appeals to their logic, to their higayon in Hebrew. And he said, no man can set aside an agreement that was made between two people. For example, you notice verse 15, he says, brethren, he's talking to the Galatians. He says, brethren, I speak after the manner of men. I'm speaking like as a day-by-day living. You, in your life, whatever you do, whatever arrangement that you Galatians have in your own life, he says, I speak as after the manner of men. He says, though it be but men's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. He says, if you make an agreement with somebody, it's common sense. If two people make an agreement, if you and I make an agreement, and we leave each other and we continue on, the agreement we cannot change, a third person cannot come and change it because we made this agreement. If a person has to agree to buy something from someone, for a certain amount of money, can you imagine if he's coming a few days later or a month later and he says, oh, here's the money that you promised me that you're going to sell me this, and all of a sudden the other man says, no, wait a minute, I wanted a lot more. And you will say, but we have agreed. We have arranged it already together. We came to an agreement. You cannot change it. It's even in a human world today. Can you imagine if you go to buy a house, and you sign the agreement, you and the seller. And then a few months later, and you come to get your title deed, and all of a sudden this salesman says, no, you cannot get the title deed. The cost is that much higher. You're going to say, but we signed the agreement. How come you changing the agreement? No one can change it. You cannot do that unless I agree with you. So Paul is saying to them, look, I'm speaking to you in common sense. In verse 15, brethren, I speak unto you after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, if it be agreed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. You cannot change it, he says in verse 15. He continues, and in verse 16, he said that God made promises to Abraham, and not Abraham made promises to God. That was long before the law was given to our forefathers, the people of Israel on Mount Sinai. Notice what he says in verse 16. Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He says, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Mashiach, Christ, Messiah, the anointed one. He's taking them back. The Galatians, of course, they were Goyim, they were Gentiles, they didn't know much of the Hebrew scriptures. Shaul, Paul knew very much of the Hebrew scriptures. And he reminded, or I should say, emphasized in sharing with the Galatians that God made promises to Abraham long time ago. And God said to Abraham that one day Abraham will have a descendant, a seed. The Hebrew word is Zerah. Zerah, the seed of Abraham. That one day God will provide to Abraham a descendant, and that descendant will be a blessing to all the nations of the world. And of course, Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob, Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. The 12 sons of Jacob, from Reuben all the way to the end, one of them called Yehuda. Judah. Judah brought about the family of Jesse. Jesse, Yishai, had a son by the name of David. David was the Melech Israel, the king of Israel. Through David, the promised Messiah of Israel would come to be a blessing to the whole world. So you notice that here in this passage, in verse 16, Paul is emphasizing the fact that, wait a minute, brethren of the local assembly in Galatia, listen to me, of the various assemblies in Galatia. God already made a promises to Abraham, our father, that through his seed, speaking about the Messiah, a Messiah will save all those who believe in him. God never gave the law, Torah Moshe, for salvation. He gave it to a people that were already redeemed, who came out of the land of Egypt being under the blood. And so he showed them in verse 16, now that to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He says, not unto seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ, which is Messiah. In other words, what we really learn from here, and I thought here it's so precious. You know, we have three times in the scripture where God speaks about the Messiah who will be the seed of, the Zera of. In Genesis chapter 3:15, the first promise of the coming of the Messiah in the whole Bible, God said to the woman that her seed will crush the head of the serpent, Satan. Yeshua the Messiah is the seed of the woman, Zera Ha'isha. Later on, we find out that Messiah is also going to be the seed of Abraham. In fact, if you don't mind, turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. And I want to read for you this very interesting verse there, as we already read it in our reading earlier. But you notice in Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham went all the way to Mount Moriah, to Har Moriah, there he went to the mountain ready to offer his son Isaac, Yitzchak. And God said, I don't want Yitzchak. I don't want Isaac. And then he took a ram, he killed the ram, and that ram that was caught in the thicket died instead of Yitzchak, instead of Isaac. But notice what God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, which is very precious. He said to him in verse 16, he says, by myself have I sworn, says the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. And notice verse 18. And in thy seed, and here is where you get the singular word, zar'acha, in Hebrew, singular, not zar'echa, seed, plural, but zar'acha, singular, in thy seed, Genesis 22:18, in thy seed, in the Mashiach, in the Messiah, in your descendant, namely single one, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. So when Shaul Paul quote in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16, the promise that God have made to Abraham, he's really quoting Genesis chapter 22 and verse 18, and he said in verse 16, as to thy seed, which is the Messiah, which is Christ. In other words, what Paul is saying to the Galatians, hey, listen, Galatians, somebody may have come from Yerushalayim to tell you that you are really not saved because you haven't been circumcised and kept the law of Moses. But the promises of salvation and redemption was never through circumcision, was never through law-keeping, but the promise of salvation was through one single individual who will be the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15, and who will be the seed of Abraham, Genesis 22 and verse 18. Zera Haisha and Zera Avraham, seed of the woman and the seed of Abraham. But of course, beloved brothers and sisters, Yeshua is not only called the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15, he is not only called the seed of Abraham, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16, which is coming from Genesis chapter 22 and verse 18, but Yeshua the Messiah is also called the seed of David. You notice in Romans chapter 1, it tells us in verse 3, I'll read from verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus the Messiah, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by the prophets, or by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning, listen to this, concerning his son, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now, brothers and sisters, this is fascinating to see how Shaul go back to the scripture and reminding us again and again that Yeshua was Zera HaIsha, the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15. He was Zera Avraham, the seed of Abraham, Genesis 22 and verse 18. And he was also Zera David, the seed of David, from 2 Samuel chapter 7 and mentioned here in Romans chapter 1. That's the one that the Apostle Paul wanted the Galatians to be attracted to. That's the one that they are to be occupied with. And so now as we're going back to Galatians chapter 3, we find out in verse 17, as Paul explaining to the Galatians, he continued to explain to them, and in verse 17 he said to them that the law came later. It cannot disannul God's promises to Abraham. Notice that, and I'm reading now verse 17. And this I say, that the covenant, meaning the Abrahamic covenant, that was confirmed before of God in the Messiah, he says, the law which was 430 years later cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. See what he's saying? You see, the law, Torah Elohim, came much later than the promises of God to our father Abraham. The law was 430 years later who came to the people of Israel who were already redeemed by the blood of the Lamb out of Egypt. And it was not given to Israel in order to save our own Jewish people. And you will see it in a moment. It was given to show how sinful sin is. But it was given to give them guidance, to help them in along their life, to live contrary to the nations of the world, to the pagan world who were worshiping idols. The Jewish people, the people of Israel, the Hebrews, were called to live for God, and the law, the Torah that was given to our own people was not given to save them. In fact, it only condemned them because they never committed completely the law. They always failed to obey the law of God. So every time the law condemned them. And that's why the law was never given. So what he's saying here, that the 430 years later, the law came. But God's promises to Abraham was already given to him unconditionally in Genesis chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 15, chapter 17, chapter 18, chapter 22. Again and again and again, God promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the promises of God were sure, and no failure to keep the law could ever change the promises of God. So I'm reading verse 17 once again. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before already of God, in Messiah, in the promise of the seed of Abraham that will come, the law, the Torah, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of non-effect. Now, can you imagine, brothers and sisters, if God tell you one thing, and he make a promise, Abraham, because you believe, I reckon you just, forgiven. Abraham didn't do anything except believe God. Abraham must have had failure in his life. You remember he took Hagar instead of waiting on God. He went down to Egypt instead of staying in Canaan. Like you and I. God tells us many commandments in Scripture and we violate them every time. And therefore, do you think that the promises of God to Abraham, that Abraham will be recognized, justified, will be now changed because 430 years later, the law was given to Israel at Mount Sinai, at Har Sinai? Not at all. Paul, Shaul, is saying to the Goyim, to the Gentile believers in Galatia, who was now saying, wait a minute, am I saved? Am I really forgiven? Because after all, these people who came down from Jerusalem said that, no, you are not circumcised, you are not saved. And I would like to remind you of this verse. This is the verse that we are starting, really, the whole book of Galatians, from Acts chapter 15 and verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moshe, ye cannot be saved. He continued in the same chapter 15 of Acts in verse 5. But there arose a certain sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And then the apostles and the elders had to come to a discussion. And you remember we read later on that even James himself said to them that he never sent these Jewish individuals who went down to Galatia. He never sent them. They never sent them. They've gone on their own. The apostles never sent them down to them. Notice what it says in verse 13 of Acts chapter 15. And after they had held their peace, Yaakov, James, answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon has declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to these the words of the prophet, as it is written, this is the agreed, the word of the prophet. Then he continued on, and you will notice that he was mentioning to them that they were really not sent by him at all. Read a little bit further. It says in verse 23 and then 24. I read verse 24. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words subverting your souls, saying ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom, notice what James, Yaakov said, to whom we gave no such commandment. We didn't demand this from them to go and tell this to the Galatians and to the nations, who people who became believers of the Gentile world. You cannot tell someone that he must be saved on a basis of being circumcised or keeping any laws, because none of us will ever be saved. This morning, and in the week that I'm occupied with this, I'm saying, oh Lord, I have no hope if I need to be saved on a basis of keeping your laws, because I've violated every one of them. Just go through the list of the Ten Commandments and read them for yourself. And check which one of them you fully have abide by them. And you find, I said, Lord, I fail every one of these commandments. No wonder Paul said in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If God will not show our grace, where would we be, beloved brothers and sisters? Where? That's why religion is so dangerous. If we don't understand that salvation is based upon faith in the Messiah. So, he continued, and I'm back to Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 18. Now notice what he says to them. He's still under the subject that the law that God gave to Israel, do not set aside the promises that God made to Abraham. And he said, if receiving of salvation will be through the law, then Messiah, in other words, the promises of God through the Messiah, is really have no value. Notice what it says in verse 18, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. You notice that? The word for inheritance here has a reference to receiving of the promises. When somebody made a promise, you receive the promises. This become an inheritance to us. So if Shaul, Paul is saying in verse 18, if the receiving of the promise of salvation will be of the law, it is no more a promise. It is law keeping in order to be justified. And then it's no longer a promise. Then he says, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. And this is wonderful. You know, you have shalom, you have peace in your heart when you know that yes, you should submit to the authority of the Lord and seek to live for Him in obedience. But when we fail, and we fail, the promise of forgiveness on the basis of the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah is there, never to be taken away from the believer in the Lord Jesus, the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. So, verses 15 to 18, the law that God gave to His people, Israel, do not set aside the promises that God made to our father Abraham, that through the Messiah, whosoever believeth on Him shall be saved. No circumcision, no law keeping, no baptism, no speaking in tongue, nor any other man-made rule can ever save the one that is seek to be saved on this basis. So now we are moving along. Galatians chapter 3, now verses 19 and 20. Shaul Paul gives a second point that he mentioned here concerning the fact that the relationship between the law and the promises of God to Abraham. So verses 19 and 20, he says that the law that God gave Israel is not greater than God's promises to Abraham. The law is not greater than the promise that God made to Abraham. Look, he's emphasizing this in verses 19 and 20. Let me read these verses to you. So notice, somebody come immediately with an answer, or with a question, I should say, in verse 19, and he asks, for what purpose then served the law? Well, if you say that the law that was given 430 years after God already made a promise to Abraham, it does not set aside the promises, so why did God give the law? Well, why did God give the law? And here it is so important for us to understand. Again, I'm reminding you that the law is holy. The law is spiritual. The problem is not with the law. The law, the Torah Elohim, is impeccable. And no one ever taught and ever dared to teach that there is a problem with the law. The problem is right here with a sinful heart that man has. And so now in verses 19 and 20, he shows us that the promises that God made to Abraham is not less important than the law itself. Notice in verse 19, so somebody might ask, perhaps a Jewish person might ask, well, why God gave us the law? Because brothers and sisters, if you go to be with our families, some of conservative family, like my grandparents, for example, who would seek to obey the law to the letter as much as they understood. In addition to that, rabbinical teachings and influence, it's unbelievable. My Saba, my grandfather, will ask the question, well, Gideon, why then the law was given to our forefathers? What's the reason? And so you notice what Paul Shaul is saying, who was in his lifetime under the law, who knew the law from Aleph to Tav, from A to Z. And notice what he says. He says, the law, he says in verse 19, he tells us 4 points about the law. Number one, it was added. It was added. It was not there before. He used the word added. Number two, the law was added. Why? Because of transgressions. The Hebrew word transgression is pesha or pshaim. If you read in the epistle of John, in the epistle of John, 1 John 3 verse 4 says, sin is the transgression of the law. Every time you have a sign that says, don't walk on the grass, and you walk on the grass because you see that sign that says, don't walk on the grass, and you pass it and you walk on the grass, you violated, you transgressed the law. Now, if the sign was not there and you stepped on the grass, you didn't transgress any law. Same thing on the highway when we drove today. When the sign says 50 kilometers, 60 kilometers, 80 kilometers, 100 kilometers, and you and I did 61, we have transgressed the law. That's what the law is. So it was added for a purpose. And the purpose was, it says, because, here's the reason, because of pesha, or pshaim, transgression. It was given to Israel to light, or you said to reveal transgressions. To show transgression. To show that man by nature is a sinner. And failing God and need to be punished because God is holy. But thank God, he did not judge all of us who violated his commandment. He forgave Israel on the basis of this blood of the animal, the sacrifice which typified the Messiah. So in verse 19, it is amazing. Number one, it was added. It was not given before. Though God's law as a holy God was known in this universe of his, but it was not clearly written on a tablet of stones and giving to a people, our people, Israel, before, until the Israel came out of Egypt 430 years after they were, from the time of Jacob going down to the time they came out of the land of Egypt. It was not given, written in such a fashion. He continued now, and you notice what he says in verse 19. He continued and he said it was temporarily, that's why he used the word, it was until the seed that should come. In other words, you see, brothers and sisters, the purpose of the law was to lead us, to lead Israel, because the law was never given to the Gentile world. It was given to Israel as a nation on Mount Sinai. It was to lead the Jewish people to know that the Mashiach is coming. The Messiah is coming. I violated the law. I'm deserved to be accursed. The sacrifice was killed. The Messiah is coming. The Mashiach is coming. The Mashiach is coming. So Paul is very clearly said, until the seed, and you remember we already talked about the seed in verse 17, he is the Messiah, the seed of Abraham in this case, the seed should come to whom the promise was made. God made a promise to Abraham, and he made a promise to the Messiah who would come, that he one day will be the one who will provide redemption for mankind. So, the law was given to Israel temporarily until the Mashiach came. That's why today, brothers and sisters, look at believers today in the whole world. Since Acts chapter 2 till today, about 2,000 years pass by. Think about it for a moment. There are believers everywhere, in Jerusalem, in Samaria, Judea, Samaria, in the outskirts of the whole world, including right here. If your salvation depended upon your keeping the law and being circumcised, did you keep the law? Well, you are not saved. Did you keep the law? I mean, this is a question that you all have to ask ourselves in every form of shape, because otherwise you are cursed. Cursed is everyone, as we just read it in the previous verses, that the law said, cursed is every man that do not continue on in all the words that the law was given to our forefathers, the people of Israel. Now, can you imagine? Paul doesn't say here, the law is bad. He doesn't say that the law is unholy, the opposite. Says the problem is not with the law. God gave the law. He gave the law. He added the law. And the reason is to show transgression, to show that we violate the holiness of God because of our sin nature. And it was given temporarily until the Mashiach has come. Yesterday we read Isaiah chapter 66. And in Isaiah chapter 66, you see that the temple in the tribulation period will be rebuilt again. And then our own people, the Jewish people, will want to have a temple once again. And so they will build the temple with the help of the Antichrist, the counterfeit Messiah. And they will go through the ceremonies of offering sacrifices. But they didn't accept the Mashiach. So you know what God said to them in Isaiah 66? He said to them in verse 3 of Isaiah 66, he that killed an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificed a lamb is as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation is as if he offered pig's blood. And he that burneth an incense is as if he blessed an idol. I'm not going to accept your sacrifices because you rejected Yeshua HaMashiach, even though you go through the system. That's why religion without the Mashiach is dead. Without the forgiveness of God and the Holy Spirit of God working in the hearts of individuals, we are liable to be religious but empty, unsaved, unforgiven. And so, notice, He said four things about the law. It was given to Israel. And then so he said, number one, in verse 19 of Galatians chapter 3, the law was added, number one. Secondly, it was given because of transgression, because of sins and violation of God's law. Thirdly, it was until the seed should come to whom the promise was made, namely the Mashiach, who have already Yeshua came some 2,000 years ago. And then fourthly, you notice that the law was actually ordained by angels and by in the hand of a mediator. It was not given directly to Israel, but it was given through a mediator. And you notice what we learn here, that it was ordained by angels, which gave it to Moshe, who gave it to Israel. In other words, it was not direct God Abraham, as it was in the time when God made a covenant with Abraham. It was God, angels, Moshe, Israel, rather than God Abraham. You see, the promise that God made to Abraham, that the seed will come, the Messiah will come, and salvation will be on the basis of his work, was direct. But here we find out, and by the way, when you read Exodus 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, when the law, the Torah was given from Mount Sinai, you don't hear of angels. But here we do. We find out Shaul Paul, by the revelation from the Lord, shows us that the law was ordained not directly from God to Israel, but God, angels, Moshe, Israel. By the way, this fact that it was ordained by angels, it's mentioned also in, Stephen said this, Acts chapter 7, verse 53. And also the writer to the book of to the Hebrew believers in Hebrews 2 and verse 2, and said the angels were mediator between God and the nation of Israel when the law was given. You remember what Stephen says? You who received the law by the disposition of angels. Acts chapter 7 and that verse 53. You receive the law by the disposition of the angels and haven't kept it. That's why the sacrificial system had to be introduced, which pointed to Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. Notice now in verse 20 of Galatians chapter 3, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. In other words, God did not need a mediator between him and Moshe. He made a promise directly to Moshe, and he gave him the promise of justification and the promise of the coming of the Messiah, the promise of salvation through Yeshua. But when it comes to the law, God gave it to angels. Angels gave it to Moshe. Moshe gave it to Israel. And that's how Israel received the law of God. Therefore, in verses 19 and 20, the law that God gave to our people Israel is not greater than God's promises to Abraham. In fact, it was lesser than what the promises that God gave to Israel. That's why Israel made a mistake, beloved brothers and sisters. If you notice, if you read Exodus chapter 19 and chapter 24, you know what Israel said to the Lord? When the law was given to them, we will do everything, God. All that the Lord has said, we will do. And the very first commandment they broke, the very first command, thou shalt have no other God before me, it was right there and then when they built the golden calf. And don't put your finger at Israel, because you broke and I broke the law just like Israel have done in so many ways. Even today, in the days in which we live in, after we believe in Yeshua the Messiah. Now quickly, let me move along, because in verse 21 to verse 26, Shaul Paul is now saying to the Galatians that the law that God gave to Israel is not contrary to his promises to Abraham. Because you notice, there's another question that had been raised here in verse 21. You notice in verse 21, then somebody, of course, will come and say, is the law then against the promises of God? Well, if God gave the promises of God to Abraham, that he will be saved on the basis of faith in the Messiah, the seed that should come, then why did he give the law? And if he gave the law, does God gave the law contrary or against the promises that he made to our fathers Abraham? Well, Shaul Paul is answering this. And you notice how tremendous. You know, Shaul Paul was a theologian. He was a man that was raised by God from the womb. He was a parush shel hapushim, the Pharisee of the Pharisees. Yet he needed to learn from the Lord the things that God had promised in Scripture concerning the Messiah, and he's a theologian. He's a really, you might say, a student of the Word of God under the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God, give these instructions to the Galatians who became believers in Yeshua. And he said to them that the law that God gave to Israel is not contrary to the promises that God made to Abraham. Not at all. He says, now notice verse 21. He says that the law was not given to Israel to provide life. Do you think that the law was given to our forefathers to receive forgiveness on the basis of keeping the law? Look what he says in verse 21. He says, listen, is the law against the promises of God? God forbid. And if there had been a law given which could have given life, then, or verily, righteousness would have been by the law. In other words, if there is any rule, any law, including, of course, the law of God, the holy law of God, if our salvation, and if we could receive forgiveness, justification, life, on a basis of keeping of the law, then look at this, as he says in verse 21, verily righteousness would have been by the law. And you know what the law says? That all have sinned. That all have failed. So if you think, Galatians, he's saying to them, that you are going to be saved now if you're going to keep the law and be circumcised, and we can add all these other things that believers today add in this present day, last days of the church age, if people will tell us that our salvation needed to be provided for us on the basis of some rules of keeping, well, then it will be based upon law-keeping and not upon the grace of God. And when it's come to law-keeping, we all fail. You know what he says in the next verse, verse 22, the law was given to Israel to reveal the sin of a fallen man. I'm reading now the next verse. Verse 22, he said, but the scripture, the Torah, has concluded all under sin. That the promise by faith of Yeshua HaMashiach might be given to them that believe. See, the law, the Torah, have concluded that we are all under sin. Just think, just read passages like what David wrote in the Psalm 14. David says that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And then he continues and he says, they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Psalm 14. David wrote it, who was under the law. He continues in Psalm 14 verse 2. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. What does he see? Verse 3, they are all gone aside. They are all together became filthy. There is none that doeth good, not even one. You and I can say, not even you. Not even you. Not even I. None. All have sinned. The law was given to reveal the sin in us and to show God's holiness, God's purity in contrast to man's sin. If you notice the first of the Ten Commandments, if you read them one by one in Exodus chapter 20, and you will notice these commandments that was given, these are the first 10 of the 613 that we have discovered over the generation from the scripture. You notice as he says in chapter 20 of Exodus, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other God. Verse 3. Thou shalt take not the name of the Lord your God in vain. Verse 8. Remember the Shabbat to keep it holy. Verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother. Verse 13, thou shalt not murder. Verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 15, thou shalt not steal. Verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness. Verse 17, thou shalt not covet. Think about it, beloved brothers and sisters. The last one, thou shalt not covet, is the one that we all have known, that we all have broken it, even though nobody knows. We have lusted and coveted and have broken that law. And we are under curse. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which the Lord had given unto you, God said, to our people of old, the people of Israel. So the law, according to verse 22 of Galatians chapter 3, was given to our people of Israel in order to reveal their sin in men. And not only Israel, but all humanity. If Israel fail, no nation will ever be able to succeed. That's why Galatians 3, verse 22, he said, but the scripture has concluded all, not some, not only Israel, but all under sin, that the promise by faith of Yeshua HaMashiach might be given to them that believe. God be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe in the person of Yeshua the Messiah who died for my sins, and God will provide for us a redemption. Notice in verse 23 of Galatians 3, all the way to verse 26, the law was given to Israel as a schoolmaster, as a tutor, as a, the Greek, he says, a pedagogos. In Hebrew it says, omenet, oman. What is a schoolmaster? A schoolmaster is a servant in olden days that was training the children of the family to be trained until they will be mature and grown up enough to come to a point that they can take responsibility. The law was given to our forefathers as a schoolmaster, an omenet, a pedagogos. It was not given to our people of Israel to receive salvation and justification. Look what he says in verse 20 to 23 to verse 26. Look at under the law, verse 23, Israel was shut up look at what it says in verse 23. But before faith came, we, and by the word we here is applying to the Jewish people, to Israel. Because only Israel received the law on Mount Sinai, not other nations. The covenant that God made with Israel, it was with the nation of Israel. So that's why the Apostle Paul used the word we here, me, we Jews. Before faith in Yeshua came, and I'm adding the word Yeshua, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. See, the law was given to Israel for a temporary season to await the day that the Mashiach is coming. The Mashiach is coming. The Messiah is coming. And Israel were kept shut up unto the time where faith in the Messiah afterward will be revealed. In verse 24, under the law, Israel was schooled in preparation for the coming of the Mashiach. It says here in verse 24. Wherefore, it says in verse 24, the law was our schoolmasters. Brothers and sisters, listen. Again, he used the word our. This is Israel, the Jewish people. The law was a schoolmaster. It says here, a guardian, a tutor, an instructor, notice, to bring us unto Mashiach. Now look at this, brothers and sisters. Just pause with me for a moment. Our people Israel today, still in unbelief, seeking or claiming, we keep the law. We keep Shabbat. We keep the feasts. We are keeping that. We are in Jerusalem. We are in the land of Israel. But look what happened, beloved brothers and sisters. They rejected, they didn't accept the Mashiach, who died for the sin of this world, who was promised to be the seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, the seed of David. Are they saved? Are they forgiven? This is something, see, Paul using logic, higayon in Hebrew. He already used scripture, he's also emphasizing scripture here, but he used logic. He says, the law, wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster, our pedagogos, our instructor, our tutor. Why? To bring us unto the Mashiach. Every time an animal was killed, the Mashiach is coming. Every time Shabbat was kept, we're going to get a rest one day through the Messiah. Every time a feast was kept, Pesach, the Messiah will redeem us. Every time we keep Sukkot, the kingdom is coming. The Mashiach is going to reign. It was a teacher. It was a schoolmaster. It was one that was used by the Lord in order to lead our people to the Messiah. And by the way, many early believers, Jewish believers in first century, all first Christians were Jews. Jewish people who believe that Yeshua the Messiah is the Messiah. And these Jewish people God used to bring the gospel to the nations of the world. You and I are sitting here as believers on the basis of the written word of God that was given to those early Jewish believers who proclaimed the message of the gospel. Like Peter, James, and John, and Jude, and others, including Shaul Paul, that gave us the book of Galatians. It is fascinating to understand that. If we don't understand it, if we don't grasp it, we will not even realize the love of God to a failing people, Jew and Gentile alike, who deserve to be condemned. And God made promises, unconditional promises, beloved brothers and sisters. Praise God that He fulfilled His promises. Notice in verse 25, we are leading towards the end here. And it says here, when Messiah came, Israel and all believers are now, we are not any longer under the law. Paul is clearly saying this in these next verses. Notice verse 25. He says, but after that faith, that is faith in the Mashiach, in the Messiah, came, we, namely Israel, he's specifically speaking of Israel. Of course, it's applied to all. But he's speaking about Israel who received the law. We are no longer under a school master, under the pedagogos, under the teacher anymore. Because the Messiah has come. Yeshua has come. He died. He kept the law which I could not. He took the curse which I deserve. He was punished that I will not be punished. The just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. That's what Shaul Paul is trying to explain to the Galatians and to us as well. And notice verse 26 of Galatians chapter 3. All believers in Yeshua the Messiah are really now, true believers, are children of God. Notice, I'm reading verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, in Yeshua HaMashiach. We are the children of God, not only physically, this is the Jewish believers, are physical descendants of Abraham, but we are all the children of God because of our faith in Yeshua the Messiah. Every true believer is a son of God, is a child of God, is a daughter of God. And so in these verses, 21 to 26, this was the third point that Shaul Paul said, that the law that God gave to Israel is not contrary to the promises that God gave to Abraham. Let me close with the last three verses here. Verses 27, 28, and 29. This is the fourth point that the apostle Shaul Paul is saying to the Galatians. He says, the law that was given to Israel cannot undo God's promises that had been given, cannot do what God promises to Abraham can do. Let me repeat it. The law that was given to Israel cannot do that which the promises that God gave to Israel, to Abraham, can do. And I'm just going to read those verses and I'm going to close. Notice that Galatians 3 verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Mashiach, into Christ, you have put on Christ, have put on Messiah. Any one of you, is Paul is writing to the Galatians, he says, any one of you that have been put under or placed into the Messiah Yeshua himself by faith, anyone that have been baptized unto the Mashiach, unto Christ, he's like putting on Christ. He's putting on the Messiah. It's like putting clothes on. When you get up in the morning and you put your clothes on, the moment that you have accepted, you and I have accepted Yeshua, we put on the Messiah on us. So when God look at us, he doesn't see anymore this sinful person. He see the Messiah, his son. He's looking at us through, you might say, the eyeglasses of his son. He looks at us, and you know what he see? Perfect positionally, perfect people of God. Look like as we have never sinned, because we have put on Yeshua, the Messiah, who have never sinned, who have pleased God all the way through his life and in his death and resurrection. In verse 28, there is no more distinction, or there is no distinction as to how believers are being justified, are being saved. You see, a Jewish man need Yeshua the Messiah in order to be saved like a non-Jewish man. That's why you notice in this verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus, in Messiah Yeshua. What does he say here? He doesn't say that the Jews become non-Jews and the Gentile become non-Gentile. He doesn't say that a male become non-male and a female become non-female. He doesn't say that a slave become non-slave and a free become non-free in here in this world. No. Look at us. There are some women here. And some men here, and some Jewish people here, and some who are non-Jewish. We don't become un-Jew or un-male or unslaved. No, what he says, that everyone, a Jew and a Gentile, a male and a female, a bond and a free, all must enter into that relationship with God on the basis of the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah. And you know how we know that there is no, that still there are those distinctions? Just go to the restroom. There's a restroom for the female, and there's a restroom for the male. Look at even the way we dress. There's a male way when we dress and a lady's way. So that doesn't change. But how to enter into this relationship with the Lord, that we all come in on the same ground. On a ground of faith in Yeshua the Messiah. And he conclude in Galatians chapter 3 verse 29. That the true believers are now Abraham's spiritual descendants. Notice this verse here. It says in verse 29. And if ye be Messiah or Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you really belong to Yeshua the Messiah, then you are now Abraham's descendants. But of course, in the case of all believers, we are spiritual descendants of Abraham. And we are spiritually going to inherit the promises that God made to Abraham. The promise of the coming seed, the coming Messiah, who would come one day to provide redemption for mankind. So brothers and sisters, I'm going to close with this. The passage for today is the fact that the Apostle Paul presents a logical reason as to the way whereby a person is going to be saved. It is only on the basis of faith in the Lord Jesus the Messiah and not on the basis of the works of the law. not to the basis on the basis of the works of the flesh. Salvation is entirely on the basis of the work of Yeshua, the Messiah, for us. So may the Lord help us to understand it and to appreciate what the Lord Jesus, what the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, have done for us. Can we say amen to that?
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.